call a meeting to order, Board of Zoning Appeals, Fairfax City of Fairfax. I guess probably the first thing to do is to give the public sort of an understanding of what's going on tonight. What we'll do, first of all, we're gonna go over whether or not the agenda that we have here is the one that the board wants to adopt. Secondly, if we do adopt it, then the first item that we get to is the request of Fairfax Golf, basically for And then, the way we'll handle that is we'll ask the staff to give us an understanding as to what the application's about, what the recommendations are. We'll then ask the applicants to come forward and to state anything that they want us to consider, in addition to what's already in the record. And then if there appears to be such a great interest in this, a lot of people here may work, yes, or just, we'll let that go. And then we'll go back to the staff, and at that time, we'll close the record, and the board will discuss the issues and make the decision tonight. After that, the meeting will be closed as far as the public is concerned, if you can, anyone can stay if they want to, and we'll go into different matters that are on the item on the agenda. So with that, why don't we go to the first action, which would be the adoption of the agenda. Does anyone propose that we adopt the agenda?
I make a motion to adopt the agenda as written.
Any of them second?
Second.
Mr. Matthews, second. Mr. Kurgan's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. All right, and going to the first item on the agenda, SU 1503-0001, request of Fairfax Golf Inc. by Sarah Duhall, attorney agent, pursuant to City Code Sections 110-843-4 and parental, and 110-366 for renewal of a special use permit to allow commercial recreational use private golf practice facility and instruction in the I-2 industrial district on the property located at 3887 Pickett Road, and more particularly described as tax map parcel 58-3-02-036. Has this application been properly noticed?
Yes, it has, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Coleman, if you could give us an overview and your recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good evening to the members of the board. The application, the property, as you know, is located at 3887 Pickett Road, and this is a renewal application of a special use permit that was approved about 18 months ago. The application property is located at the corner of Pickett Road and Matthew Drive, and you can see from the overhead projection screen that the tenant space is one of a small shopping center area. That was actually constructed in the late 1970s. Since the original approval in 2013 for Fairfax Golf, there have been no additional changes to the site or to the tenants. It's the same tenant list that was occupying the property in 2013. The building continues to consist of the 22,000 square feet. 14,000 square feet approximately are dedicated to warehouse, 6,000 to office, and 1,000 square feet to retail. And the tenant is continuing to operate the 2,600 square feet of its original application. And you can see the property with two reserve parking spaces as previously required in our application package. The applicant continues to maintain those parking spaces, and I understand there's also an additional space on the other side of the parking area that's also available for instructor. The applicant continues to request renewal of the commercial recreational use, which is a golf practice facility in the I-2 district. And the applicant has only made two small changes. One is the hours of operation actually have changed from 10, beginning at from 10 to 9 o'clock in the morning. And then the applicant is asking for the board to approve without any further time limitations, so they would not be required to renew in the future. And based on staff's visit to the site, it was obvious that the applicant has posted the hours of operation consistent with the approval, with that one exception that they actually are operating now at 9, whereas the previous approval was that they wouldn't open until 10, which was their request. So staff really has no opinion or concern about them opening earlier than originally approved. And the other condition was that the lessons are conducted in less than every hour, so there's a little time for overlap in parking, which apparently was not an issue on the four times that staff was visiting the site. There was not any concern for parking here. As you can see, the space has been improved for the seven tee boxes, which is actually less than the number of tee boxes originally approved. The staff, the BZA approved the original application for eight tee boxes, and only seven are found on the property. And typically, staff found that usually there was just one area, one of the tee boxes in use, and only one instructor. So it's very individualized. Now, mind you, these were probably visits during the workday, so that may not be the prime time. But one of the benefits of the site is that the other use is probably operate at peak hours that are not in conflict with the recreational facility. So we don't anticipate that there would be any issues with parking during the weekends when perhaps there are more more clients at the site. So staff finds that the site is nonconforming regarding parking, that there are these are all the same conditions that were apparent during the previous approval. There are 39 parking spaces available, but no parking issues have resulted from this use, and there is no significant change in the volume of traffic. Typically, when staff reviews a site that is a change of use from, say, warehouse to something, a non-warehouse use such as this commercial recreation facility, essentially what we're looking for is that the parking and traffic generation is no greater than the site planned use. And in this case, staff believes that that is the case, that this is not having any more significant impact. So staff's recommending approval of the special use permit to renew this, to renew the special use permit to allow the commercial recreational use to continue subject to the development conditions. Condition number one, the applicant ensure that the interior improvements are in conformance with the plans prepared by the applicant dated October 2013 and submitted with the original application and with this renewal application. The applicant ensure that, condition number two, the applicant ensure no more than eight clients and two instructors are on site at any given time. Condition three, the applicant ensure that practice times and private instruction are scheduled by appointment only and include intervals of not less than 15 minutes between appointments in order to control parking demand, and the special use permit be approved with no time limitation. So that concludes the staff's recommendation, and I'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Any questions of the board? By the board?
Yes.
Ms. Brown. I noticed the condition that the interior improvements are in conformance with the plans prepared by the applicant October 2013. Does that mean that those improvements have been made and this just ensures that they won't be changed?
The floor plan did not change from the 2013 application to this one, so the date just, it's the date on the same floor plan that was used in the previous application.
So it would stay that same?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Anyone else?
No.
Okay. Just one question, please. The 18 months where the applicant requests unlimited or indefinite, I forget the term used, but does it make sense if we go beyond 18 months?
If there's a concern that there may be a potential for violation of the conditions, the BZA could certainly select that option to approve and continue the renewal requirement at with giving them more time than the original 18 months. Certainly
okay,
an
you.
Option.
Mr. Perman?
All right. Thank you. We'll now hear from the applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Sarah Hall of Blankenship and Keith, representing the applicant, and I was here with the original special use permit. Business is going well. It's being built up. These things take time, but our client is very encouraged by the reception that he's had. You may recall that this space had been vacant for well over a year when our client went in, and the other tenants in this immediate vicinity were delighted to have the space filled. We understand they're very pleased with the way it's working out with their clients and so forth. There hasn't been any problems, and just the fact that it is rented has been a great thing. The original special use permit, of course, was granted for 18 months, and we're here now to renew it indefinitely. And this is important as the business grows, that they know that they will have a home, and that the people who have been coming there know that this will be it, and that's something they can rely on. I'd be delighted to answer any questions.
Anyone have any questions?
Just one question. I know the application, the city staff's presentation mentioned that they had inspected the property. I visited the property, I think, twice. Both times just a single instructor on site with two approved. Is that typical, one instructor or?
Well, people make appointments ahead of time, so you know how many instructors you'll need, and so they can have two when they need it. They only need one, there'll probably only be one there.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Bauer?
I was just going to ask whether they are, they're satisfied with the size of the business, they don't expect growth?
Well, they'd like growth, but I mean, right now they have space to grow in there.
As
Ms. Coleman said, they've got 7 tees now, and as opposed to the 8 that they're approved for, I keep reading about the city's plans to have the city be an incubator for small businesses and so forth, and I think this is the type of thing that we're talking about, the city's talking about, that you start for something small like this and grow it over time. But I think this site will do them for a good while yet. Yes, ma'am.
I think what I was referring to was, I mean, I suppose there are probably still hours that are not filled with two instructors, so there is room for that growth. And I think what I was asking was they don't at the moment feel the need to increase to 4 instructors or
no.
More spaces. So that's
no.
That's what I was asking. Okay.
Has anybody been to the facility? Any golfers among you?
I have been by it. I have looked in it. I did not go in, but I like what I saw.
Yeah, it's very well kept up.
Well kept, very
clean. Very well kept up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I'm like all other golfers. I don't need instruction. I can't get any better. I wish.
Okay, don't take anything I say wrong, because it's our job to ask the question as far as this goes. It seems up to this point that the business has been minimal. One instructor, I think you said there were 2 students at the time. You have the ability to go to 8 with 2 instructors, which is 10. That's like 3 times more than you have now. Our concern that you have to understand is parking and getting along with the other tenants. Mm-hmm. If you get to the maximum, which I hope you do, because business got to grow or it goes away. Mm-hmm. It's just that I'm still concerned about allowing an indefinite time until we see the growth. I mean, I'd be willing to go the 4 or 5 years or whatever, but the indefinite would be we're given carte blanche to go ahead and build it, and as long as you don't change anything that you've already been agreed upon, it's okay, but that parking issue is still going to be there. And one of the main concerns I have, too, is change of clientele in that building. Right now, it suits great for you guys because, like she was saying, during the hours you're usually busy, those businesses aren't that busy. They're mainly, like most of the stores, they're rush hour type traffic in and out, like the laundromat and whatever. I just would like to keep a little closer eye on it. They'll shoot me down anyway, so you don't have to worry about it. But that's just... That's my one concern. I don't have a problem with it. I peeked through the windows at it. I like the facility. It's clean, it's neat. The parking doesn't seem to be a problem. I don't go in because people see me and they say, oh, God, get the gun. But, you know, it's one of those, I think it's a great business. I think there's a need for it. I think it should grow. But we have to think about the parking issue. So that's just, I'm keeping that in the back of my mind.
The tenants work well together to exactly. get the parking. And these tenants have been there. I mean, every tenant other than this for decades. I mean, it's remarkable.
Right.
And they have a good relationship among each other. And I think we'll make it work.
Yeah, I again, it's not, we have to play the what-if game.
Mm-hmm.
Because 2 years from now, that whole philosophy could change in there. And different things can go in there, and their size requires a number of parking, your size requires a number of parking. And unfortunately, when they built the facility, they didn't put in enough parking for everybody. So, like I said, I'm just, we'll probably muddle through this here, but I have a little bit of reserve that, and I like to make it well known.
Okay, anyone else? Thank you.
Thanks.
I assume there's no one else here to speak for or against. So why don't we, does anyone have any further questions of staff? If not, why don't we close the public input and go to the consideration, the board's consideration of the application. Who would like to go first?
Do you want me to make a motion?
If you want to do it that way. Yeah. Okay.
That or discussion, take it out.
I move that the Board of Zoning Appeals approve the request of Fairfax Golf, Inc. by Sarah E. Hall, attorney agent, pursuant to City Code Sections 110-843-4 and 110-366 for a special use permit to allow commercial recreational use golf practice facility in the I-2 Industrial District on the property located at 3887 Pickett Road, and more particularly described as tax map parcel 58-302-036, subject to the following conditions. Number one, the applicant shall ensure that the interior improvements are in conformance with the plans prepared by the applicant dated October 2013. Is this on? And submitted with this application. The applicant, number two, the applicant shall ensure no more than 8 clients and 2 instructors are on site at any given time. The applicant shall ensure that practice times and private instruction are scheduled by appointment only, and include intervals of not less than 15 minutes between appointments in order to control parking demand. And four, the special use permit shall be valid. Is that what I want on there for number four?
Oh, what she wants?
This is what staff has said.
What I have in the package.
That was the last one. That was the first. That was the first one.
Okay, and
this
that
is the new one.
And that the SUP shall be approved with no time limit. And I do add that condition because I think they have good credibility in what they've done. They have adhered exactly to the conditions. I think that if there is a, I mean, there's always the ability to look at if they're adhering to their special use permit, if there's a problem, and also because I think that given that they are now located here, if there's any change in the other tenants, then they are going to have a special use permit and their parking will be looked at. So they may have to be a reduction in parking for whatever new business comes in order to keep the same parking accommodations that are there now. So that's my reason for saying that I think we should go ahead and approve this and not require that they return for any additional review.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, could I just offer a small mm-hmm. suggestion? It isn't really making a condition number four that the applicant, is that what I heard, that you were trying to condition that the SUP is not renewal, need not be renewed?
No. That's what I was, that's the condition number four on
she was reading the wrong page. She read the old one.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that you don't want a condition, you don't need to make a condition that it not renew, that it not be required to renew.
Can you go back to your slide that had that condition on it? Because that's what I wrote down.
She says it's not a condition.
Yeah, it's a condition.
There you go.
Right.
A condition is being a limitation.
And actually, that was a carryover. We accidentally, was eliminated in your report. The PowerPoint was finished prior to your report.
And that's what I was bringing up, is that it's a moot point.
Yeah.
Why do I need it there? If you don't put it on there, there is no.
There's no limitation.
So my amendment.
Would be to take it off.
To be to take it off.
Sure. The staff motion is actually page number, I think, 5. If you just go 5 pages into the report.
Right.
It's not at the very, very back as your custom.
Yeah, the original.
Right, right.
Let me ask you, would you consider your motion to read just the 3 conditions?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, and you seconded it?
I seconded it.
Do you agree?
I agree with just the 3 conditions.
Okay. All right, do we want to have a discussion on this, or is everyone ready to vote?
Ready to go.
You ready to go? Mr. Berman?
Yeah, you know well.
All right, let me just say one thing on this. I agree also that there should be no time limitation. The applicant has been in that facility now for 18 months. The limitation on the customers is what would control the parking, and it's not fair to impose upon one tenant an overflow by other users of that property. If there is any subsequent redistribution of the people in that facility with a new applicant coming in, and there's a problem with the parking, we can take it up with the new applicant rather than such those who, I don't want to say have a vested right, but have an established participation in that facility. So with that, I would, yes?
And I agree with you 100%, and I'll just add that the nature of the business doesn't preclude, or it doesn't include a lot of traffic moving in and moving out. It's not that 8 people would be there for an hour period and all 8 people are going to be leaving at one time. There's going to be a transition period where you may have, if you have a full group of 8, 4 of them may be there for now, 4 of them may be leaving, and you're always going to have some kind of turnover. With that kind of numbers and those kind of people, it's not a conducive business to having a major problem, no flow like that. And if something happens and it does change, we have facilities in place to address it and work it out.
Yeah, I come out for what it's worth. I come out the same place. It's worked well, apparently. No heartburn.
We've done it in the past many times.
So,
the reason for bringing people in the first place is because it's new. They have no track record.
That's right.
Now they have a track record. It's proven. It's good. We've got facilities in place to monitor it. Why penalize them?
And I take John's point.
Because there's a cost involved here.
You can't lay those contingencies on a single tenant. So anyway.
Okay, why don't we call for a vote? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aye.
Okay, 4-1. The application's approved. All right, let's go on to the next matter, and that's the consideration of the minutes. And I don't think I have the minutes.
I don't understand.
Oh, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I apologize. The minutes from the February meeting as well as the November meeting are lagging, believe it or not. So I promise you we will have them caught up before our next meeting.
From what I gather, I don't think there's really a pressing concern. I don't see people beating down the doors to get them. So we can defer this until next meeting. All right, then that takes us to the consideration of the annual report.
And at your last meeting, there were some corrections requested to the annual report, and those have been made. So you have in front of you now the final copy.
All right, does anyone make a motion that we adopt the annual report?
I move we adopt the annual report.
Okay, Ms. Bauer made the motion. Anyone second?
I'll second.
Okay, well, we got 2 seconds. Okay, Mr. Matthews and Mr. Perriman. Oh, you got 3. Okay. All right, why don't we call the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. All right, we'll move past this. I thought we had the election last
week. We did this already.
Yeah.
We did the election already.
We did the election already, so we can cross that off.
Right.
Okay, now we go to staff comments.
That's timely, that's fine. Actually, I'm sad to report that Carolina Garcia has left the city.
Oh.
She has taken a similar position with, I think it's the city of Myrtle Beach or the county that Myrtle Beach is in. I'm not sure which, but.
South Carolina?
Yes. So her last day was actually last week, and.
She sent around the bulletin and the materials.
Yes, she did manage to do that, one last hurrah. And so we are between staff persons, although I've tried to pitch to Tina. She's not buying it. I tried to pitch it to her. I told her, you can come in late tomorrow, you miss all the traffic.
She's going to pull a Sherman on you.
Yeah, yeah. So we will look for a replacement, someone to fill that vacant position, so the department is minus one technician right now.
I should confess to everybody, when I was told that, I promptly sent Tina a note saying, I'm sorry that Tina is leaving.
Oh, boy.
I'm happy to report that Lisa is still employed with us. She just happens to be on leave. And I told her this was such an easy case, I was happy to fill in, so, but she'll be here for the duration, I hope.
That is what really caused a lot of heartburn, didn't it?
Other than that, my director had intended to provide some information for you about the zoning rewrite. And I couldn't catch him today to get that information, so I'll send it out to you later on this week. In particular, I believe that he is setting up a time for the boards and commissions to have a preview of the latest draft of the rewrite and a presentation from the consultant. And this would actually be prior to the public meeting with the with the city council. Right.
Yeah, that's going to be sometime at the end of May.
Pretty soon, yes. Yeah. Yes. So look for that information to be coming shortly. Other than that, no applications are coming in for June, so potentially a July meeting. We're trying to line a couple folks up for July.
Okay. Well, it's not that I miss not seeing you guys, but all right, why don't we see if there are any board comments? Mr. Perriman.
Got a couple questions for you. Is it my ignorance about parking at these facilities, or is it if a customer, say the cleaners left that facility, and a new tenant moves in that didn't require any kind of special use permit, they don't need to come to us, do they?
No, not off the bat.
Parking would be assigned by the management company that owns that.
Right.
So that's the reason I have a problem with what we did tonight. But I didn't want to drag that all out here.
The interesting thing is that certainly the pet motel and the vet clinic, they tend to do morning and evening. That tends to be their peak. And so and if the golf folks don't open until 9, a lot of that vet traffic has come and gone.
The other side of that, too, is that, yeah, they've been in there 18th, but they're running at 1/3 of what their business.
This is true.
So we don't know what it's going to be when they're at full capacity.
Right, right.
Those were my concerns. I just want to make everybody understand why I didn't.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
And a pet peeve of mine in the city for the last 20 years, and I've been doing this for a long time, has been parking. They keep reducing and reducing and reducing parking. Where you get up around North Street trying to find a place to park, it's be nuts. You know, all that junk is just, it's a problem.
They want us to be a walking city.
Well, and good. Where are you going to park the car while you're walking?
You leave it at home. You get public transportation.
Yeah, I'm going to walk 2 miles to get to the service.
Bus
store. I don't think that's going to happen.
Bus stops right in front of your house.
Well, this property is an anomaly. I mean, it's not uncommon on Pickett. Sorry. It isn't uncommon on Pickett, but it isn't the majority of the parking in the city. We're actually overparked by current standards. By today's, when you look at our shopping centers and office buildings, we really require more parking.
Shopping centers got huge parking
exactly.
They never use.
Exactly.
The ones that are concerned, though, are the ones that are in basically strip malls where the parking is very much limited, and each tenant has a certain amount of that parking, and the customers don't care where that parking is supposed to be. They're going to take whatever they can get.
Right.
And that's where the problem comes in.
Right, the industrial buildings, as they have been repurposed for non-industrial uses, are problematic, absolutely.
Next thing I want to ask you about, Sky Instruction, have they met their requirements for what they were supposed to do there, or have we checked?
We have not checked as regularly as I would have liked. We are going to start checking because their peak season begins at the end of the school year.
Right.
So during the winter sessions, it's a little hard to gauge because their enrollment is so low during the during the off-peak. But I do want to have a baseline of off-peak volumes to compare to their peak season in the summer.
The other thing was they were required to do certain repairs, like the lighting in the parking lot, all that other junk.
As far as I know,
they hadn't done in the 2 years we gave them, and my guess is they still haven't done.
Well, and interestingly enough, after our last, their last application in front of the board, I was approached by the applicant and asked about a different use. So I'm not even sure the school, I'm not even sure what's going on with the school.
I was wondering how they stayed in business with a few students, they had a
lot of
square footage.
Right. She was looking at something along the lines of just a more traditional office use for home care providers, which was her original application or business idea at the very onset.
Would she have to come back here?
She wouldn't, because that's a strict office use.
No, because it's, that's right, it's purpose.
Right, right.
Okay, one more, because I like to keep attention. Can we get our zoning inspector to do a tour through the communities and get these damn trailers out of people's driveways? I can go through Westville right now, and I can give you five or six houses. They're parking everything on the street because they got their trailers in their driveway. And these are these towable trailers. They're not under their own power type things. It's just a trailer. One in particular has had the same three trailers in Fuller House for at least 6 months. That's not moving.
Right. We can certainly do something with you in that regard. It is a little problematic when we get into whether or not someone can park a commercial vehicle on their driveway.
Well, they can't, they're allowed one.
I was going to say, even if they don't have a minor home occupation. So, you're right.
These trailers are not, I mean.
Are you talking about campers?
No.
No.
Like a boat?
They're called low boys or something that tow. They hook them to the truck.
Right, they have.
They're hooked to the truck.
Attached to a truck.
Yeah.
Okay.
My understanding of our rule on that is you cannot park them on the street at all.
Right.
And they're not allowed to be in the driveway unless they're past the front of the house. They sit in the front yard. Because, I mean, if you look at that inspector, who wants to get up every morning and look at somebody's raggedy old trailer?
Well, they should be on the driveway.
They're on the driveway.
And they shouldn't remain there in a way that would imply they're just being stored,
exactly.
as opposed to being used. And that is difficult to get. It's just like parking on the grass, you know. Someone says, I moved it last week. It's not stored. It's there occasionally. It's difficult to prove. It's difficult to enforce. And I was going to say, we've been looking at the rewrite in so many different areas. I'll have to figure out what's going on with that.
A trailer is a trailer. If you have a boat on a trailer, it cannot be in your driveway. It must be past the front of your house. It cannot be on the front side of the house. Unless that's changed.
If it's being stored, it needs to be in the rear yard.
It's not being hooked to a car, it's being stored.
Correct. There's nothing that says that from the zoning perspective that you can't have a commercial vehicle on your driveway.
Yeah, that's in the driveway.
Exactly. It has to be licensed.
The trailer's not driving.
Even still, I mean, zoning is not regulating trailers. As long as it's not being stored in the driveway. You still have to have your two required parking spaces. If that's what you're interested in pursuing, that's the hook from the zoning perspective. It's a single family detached home has to have two required parking spaces.
Okay, so that's on the street?
No. Off-street parking. The zoning ordinance requires off-street parking. So your two required parking spaces have to be on your residential lot. So if you have a commercial vehicle that's displacing your two required parking spaces, then that's the issue you'd like to go. It's not that it's a commercial vehicle. It's not, commercial vehicles are not zoning issues, but required parking for the residential use is the zoning issue.
Because the other part of that statement that I was going to make is there's one particular house that has one of the large vans on it. There's no commercial writing on it, but doesn't have side windows, which makes it a commercial vehicle. It's been sitting in that yard 6 months, ain't moving.
On the driveway?
Well, this one's actually on the grass, but it's right beside the driveway.
So you have to have two spaces available for car parking on your driveway?
Correct, for your residential use. Including the garage, yes. Unless it's a proffered community, you know, the garage isn't your required parking. It's covered parking that's available, but you know how folks will put stuff in their garage. And so as long as they have two spaces on the driveway, now you can, if you have parking in your garage and on the driveway, you actually have four spaces, but the two spaces need to essentially have a free access to.
You need out of garage parking for two vehicles.
You need, the in or out, you just have to have parking for two vehicles. You can't consume your entire driveway with non.
But if you put trailers, you can't get those cars.
Right.
So that's the thing, is that they're not.
Sorry? Houses that don't have driveways.
They're probably non-conforming. Our current code requires. And that perhaps is the problem. They're non-conforming.
So they're not allowed to have a commercial, trailers, trucks, anything parked in the driveway unless they have space for more than two.
Well, they can have, they need to have their two required parking spaces for their residential use. Now, if.
That's a quick law, I didn't even know.
If they are displacing those two parking spaces with commercial, non-passenger vehicles, customary to residential homes, so business vehicles. Right. So that's, now, you know, they could come back and say, well, I have one passenger vehicle and I have one work vehicle and they're both parked off-site and those are my two cars. So.
They do allow that. I know they allow one commercial vehicle.
They are the police department, though. That's who really regulates commercial vehicles.
Well, yeah, the problem with the police department is if it's in the driveway, they won't touch it.
Correct. So they. But I'm saying that's not the zoning issue for us, it's the required parking for the residential use.
Okay, so.
So we can look at that to see if.
You have parking for two.
Catch 22 here.
Yeah, I'm kind of going.
You did a catch 22.
I open can of worms here. I'm gonna have to read up on this.
It's difficult. That's why it's not easily enforced.
I didn't realize that every house is required to have a driveway.
Well, it's, they're required to have two parking spaces. Off-street parking spaces. Now, there could be non-conforming homes that don't have off-street parking.
Right, but if you have a driveway, it has to be able to hold two cars and they cannot be trailers, trucks, anything like that. Mainly trailers, let's just use that. If trailers sit in the driveway, it's taking up a parking space that it shouldn't take.
Right.
But if you have two cars and a trailer, it's a problem.
The trailer can be stored in the rear yard if it's being stored, but it needs to be screened. So there are paths that would allow people to have what they want.
That's the way I understood it. If you had a trailer, like a boat or whatever.
Right.
It cannot be in your driveway in front of the house. It had to be somewhere other than that.
I wouldn't say in the front of the house. You and I, we'll meet with you and go over the zoning ordinance and talk about exactly, if you would bring the list of properties so that we'll know exactly, and I can have Ryan go out and take some photos, and then we can really have a conversation about what's enforceable and what's really such a gray area.
What I can do is go give him half a dozen of them, let him look at it, and then you guys tell me whether.
Well, he can't do anything until we hire somebody to replace Carolina.
Oh, that's true.
He's our fill-in tech.
He's your what?
Our fill-in tech. Yeah.
So we don't have an inspector?
No, not right now, you don't.
So maybe that's something actually also for zoning rewrite to look at. There were enough issues that came up from the developers about things that they wanted to see. Maybe it's something that the consultants should advise on as to, especially with the grandfathered properties. I mean, I think we are going to desperately need the consultants to explain to us the changes that are and how they're going to affect the BZA, because I cannot tell you, and I can tell you that there were people that came with pages of changes to the ordinances. So it's something to look at carefully. Most of them were not to the residential area, so there are some...
A lot of commercial.
A lot of, there are a lot of changes to the residential areas, but very detailed, there are a lot of changes.
Well, what you're going to find is that the BZA will be used as in a much broader appeal capacity, because the zoning administrator's role is to determine compliance. So when someone comes in with a request, whatever, commercial, residential, the question is, does that request meet the standards of the zoning ordinance? And if I say that their proposal does not meet the standard, then instead of SEing out of the standard, the applicant's going to come to the board and argue that the standard shouldn't apply to them. Not that the standard's bad, but just that they have a unique circumstance that the standard shouldn't apply to them. So that's kind of the broad. It'll be an interesting switch for us, because up until now, the special exceptions have so weakened our regulations. Because if you constantly approve exceptions to the rules, then the rules become ineffective.
Right.
And that's essentially, but this is flipping it in a way that it's not going to compromise the rules, but what it's going to do is decide whether the rules should apply to these folks or not, you know, to whatever. So it'll be a different change in perspective.
It also seems to me that there's going to be a lot more ability for sort of allowances for you to make.
We're looking at a variation of an administrative variance of 10 to 20% on any standard. That's the proposal. Council will have to decide what level of tolerance they have for the administrative relief.
So they won't be coming to us for that relief. They can get that automatically. They can get that from zoning administrators. So up to a, yeah.
Right. So once again, that.
What you have right now, since a 15-foot setback, you're not able to.
There is some built-in relief for non-conforming residential lots, depending on the lot size and the setbacks and so forth. And that actually could become a little bit broader even, so that the setbacks, the by right setbacks, are more narrow, giving people more room to add on and so forth without being encumbered to go through a process.
And also that what we've considered subsized lots will no longer be subsized lots.
Right.
People are going to be able to construct on them. The smaller lots that are, for instance, in, I forget what it's called, the tip end of Triangle area, where they have any number of subsized lots, and people are putting two or three together. Many of those now they're going to be able to build on.
Well, that's what they did over there by the American Legion. That area, those originally were set for trailers, and a lot of people put lots together and built a house on it. Now the contractors have gone back saying, well, these are, because they took down a house and put three houses in. They're this wide, that long, and three stories.
But they're going to get to do more by right. It's not going to have any.
Why do we bother having a BZA?
Well, I think because more people are going to be saying this shouldn't apply to us.
Let's see. And one more. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go buy a Hacienda House?
Yes.
And your take?
You know, that is more of a building code issue, because my understanding is that they have had open building permits, and as long as you have an open building permit, it's essentially the site's under construction, and you can renew an open building permit and maintain a certain level of
approval for this stuff that violates zoning.
What, such as?
That deck is more than 17 feet from the side of the lot. They're going to put a roof on it and close it, which means they're going to, my guess is they're going to close it in and turn that into part of the house.
Well, when we see the plans, we'll advise them of the zoning regulations, but right now, there are no plans in front of us to do. I mean, I can't enforce on intention.
And they're not over the 40% bill of the lot?
Well, we don't have a lot coverage in the residential districts. We only have setback. So there's no lot coverage required or limitation.
We don't have you can build out up to 40% of the lot. Because that's a change thing, because we discussed that sitting in your lot then.
Well, I'd have to look at, there's limitations on how much of the front yard you can cover, 25% of the front yard has imperviousness.
Where was the front yard when they started?
Well, their improvements are in the rear and the side, though. They're not improving in the front.
And they've gone out the side, they went to the other side. But I don't think that meets the standard now, because I don't think that fence is 17 feet away from the addition. Unless you gave them your approval to go with the 90s.
Again, I haven't seen anything recently come through for a building permit.
I got a copy of their plans, and the plans say, for later build, and they list everything. I mean, they're liable to have 4 or 5 stories there before you're done, because nobody closed that out.
Mm. Well, we'll certainly have Andrew Wilson attend when you come in, and we'll go over the parking and the driveways. We'll bring this up as well, and have Andrew, because it's really more of a building code issue.
Yeah. I'd like to go on there with tape measure, but I know we don't have the right to do that.
Just get one of those infrared jobs to stand on the property line.
Yeah. Well, I don't have your money either. Maybe my infrared job, you have to pull out of a...
Maybe you could be a volunteer zoning inspector.
Oh, they would. No, they have to set an arm guard out with it.
If he does the paperwork, that's fine.
I love that. I'll do it.
Do all the paperwork.
You let me have that ability, you're not going to like the results. Because I'm not easy to get along with. You probably noticed that. But, and I see this stuff, and it's not that they don't know the rules, it's they don't give a damn. It's like the thing with you talk to somebody about parking their trailers in their front driveway. Mm-hmm. It's my driveway, I'll park any damn thing there I want.
Sure. They must come from out west. They come from out west.
I wish they'd go back.
Michelle, do we have any kind of restriction in the code or the ordinances as to keeping recreational vehicles in front of a property or on the driveway?
Only by...
Not recreation, I mean RVs.
Only by weight. RVs not more than 15,000 pounds, I think it is, are allowed.
I see.
And again, that's all police. Right. Zoning doesn't regulate the type of vehicle. We just tell you what parking is required for the particular use.
That's another thing I fought for a lot of years. That's how I know you can't go to zoning if it's on the yard. You can't go to the police if it's in the driveway. You got to go see, what's his name, from the fire department. I can't think of his name. Anyway, he's the one that has the building code. He writes them up. They have X days to get it. Like an abandoned car or anything like that, he has to get it. No, it's not us.
Parking enforcement for inoperable vehicles.
So this is for the fire department. He just recently went in our neighborhood. A guy had 2 cars in his backyard. Been sitting there for years. Mm. The grass is growing out from underneath the hood. It's been that long. And gotcha. He wrote them up a 30-day notice that they had to go. And one of the guys wouldn't move it, so they towed it out and sent him a bill.
Good enough.
So, I mean, there is... They can do stuff, but you got to get a hold of the right people.
And you sure that wasn't property maintenance?
What's his name?
Gene Lynch.
Gene Lynch is the one I talked to.
Right. Well, our building code office actually falls in the fire department.
Right.
So when you say fire, I'm thinking, why would a fireman care about?
No, it's not a fireman. I'm talking about the inspector.
Right. No, that's
Gene's the one.
But Gene is actually a member of the building code office.
Because he's very wide in his reach, because we have a problem with rats in the shopping center up
Correct.
There, and he goes and inspects their trash facility.
Correct.
Even on-site trash.
Correct.
All that junk stuff.
Yeah, that's all property maintenance.
It's a good one to need to know if you've got in your neighborhood where somebody's got a clunker in the backyard, call over and get a hold of Gene. He will respond pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed. The guy's really into his job.
Mm-hmm.
The rationale is that it's a fire hazard.
The rationale is a piece of junk and you can't leave in your yard. It's a safety violation 100 times over. It's got oil, gasoline, kids play in it. So, I mean, the hazards are numerous. You only need one to give it a nice bonfire. Well, that would be my viewer thing.
I have a question.
How's a kid going to learn how to drive if he can't sit in a parked vehicle and pretend?
Because to take it out of park, whoop. And then you got a kid going down the road to live.
A question about reserved parking spaces. Are they enforceable?
The shopping center that we just heard?
Anywhere. Everywhere you go where you see reserved, this is reserved for the cleaners, or this is reserved for...
Not from zoning perspective. Sorry. That's a landlord-tenant issue.
So unless it says... So they can have a car towed if it parks in one of those reserved spaces?
Absolutely, yes.
If that, it violates the lease agreements and so forth, sure.
And then it's in Britton McHenry, you can go get the car out.
The only time you have a chance of beating that one is when they put reserved spaces in front of all the handicapped parking spots.
Well,
they cannot do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're allowed to reserve spaces, and if you violate that, they can have it towed.
I mean, because sometimes you see those spaces empty for a long time, whereas the other spaces are full. And I'm amazed at how Fair City Mall is full. No. Fair City Mall is no acres of unused parking anymore. It's amazing. Well, that's true.
That's where all the Fairfax Golf people go to park, and then they walk
there.
See, Tina, don't you miss us? Don't you? We're more fun than council, I think. I move for adjourn.
I'm having so much fun.
I'll assert it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.